You have in the handout a paragraph taken from Calvin's Institutes that is included in the book that we're following by Pink in this particular chapter. And I want us to look at it. I printed it out because it's weighty in terms of its content, as you might expect. Calvin's Institutes. We are now to examine how we obtain the enjoyment of those blessings which the Father has conferred on His only begotten Son, not for His own private use, but to enrich the poor and needy. And first, it must be remarked that as long as there is a separation between Christ and us, all that He suffered and performed for the salvation of mankind is useless and unavailing to us. To communicate what He had, what He received from the Father, He must therefore become ours and dwell in us. The sum of all this is this, that the Holy Spirit is the bond by which Christ efficaciously unites us to Himself. That's a good statement, a weighty statement, and I printed it out. I want you to maybe fold it and keep it handy and read it over a number of times to get the meaning. Finally, the sentence, the satisfaction of Christ rendered absolutely certain the salvation of those for whom He transacted, whose federal head He was. So keep it handy, stick it in your Bible maybe, refer to it. It's very relative to what we're studying and have been studying. Today we begin the application concluded. As I have been reading through and preparing and thinking about these lessons, I began to realize how very little do we really, really know and comprehend about all that is involved in the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how we ought to make it a purpose of ours to read those resources that are available in our devotion time, in our own personal study of God's Word. And the thought came to mind that I have made reference to the ICR Museum here in Dallas, Institute in Creation Research. And if you haven't been there, if you haven't seen it, again, I would encourage you to go, particularly the planetarium presentation. It's all good, it's all relative, it's all well, it's every bit of it is just well done. But the reason I say the planetarium is because they have done such a good job. It's in two parts. One part has to do with God creating the world. It just boggles your mind the way they have it set up. And then the planetarium, the precision that exists in the planetarium world, so to speak. You just think, it takes your breath. It's just phenomenal. And I think of that often, but as I was thinking about this atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ, what led up to that in eternity past, the actual death and burial and resurrection, His ascension to heaven, and all that is going on right now in terms of the elect being brought to himself. There's just no comparison in the least to creation. It's far beyond that. And we ought to keep that in mind as we continue our study. I couldn't help this week, back both times as I have had Eric for the Bible study. The thoughts in the back of my mind are, young man, you have no idea what's going on in your heart and life right now. It just boggles your mind and your heart to think this is a never-dying soul sitting here in front of me. And there's reason to think that God is drawing that young man to himself. I can't guarantee that, I don't know. But there's evidences that make me think that. And I just look at that hymn and I say, God, save this boy. Make him to be your very own. And I think a lot of it grows out of this recent study on the atonement. And I think all that it goes into saving this boy's soul. So pray for Eric and for me, and that God will do a mighty work in his heart. And I guess because of what we've been studying, it just, the reality gripped me as I was sitting there dealing with his soul, taking him through John Nicodemus, relating to him all that, and see his interest in seeing the truth that all of that brings to mind. So do pray. The atonement of Christ rendered absolutely certain. Absolutely certain, no doubt. Can't be any other way. The salvation of those for whom he died. For whom he was their federal head. But something is necessary. To make his people actual participants of it. I'm quoting to you, I won't ask you to turn there, but I am quoting to you from Acts 26:18. The Holy Spirit must be sent. To do what? In the language of Scripture, open their eyes to turn from darkness to light and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. The beneficiaries of Christ's mediatorial work enter this world in a state of guilt and depravity, and it is the peculiar office of the Holy Spirit to bring them into a state of life and liberty. That's conversion. That's true salvation. It's not nodding my head to a few facts, but it's a genuine work done only the Holy Spirit can do. Making use of the Word of God. Making it a reality into their souls. So we have the persons of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Think of their particular involvement. Election is appropriated to God the Father. Redemption to God the Son. Application, the Holy Spirit. What a thrill to see that take place. And in some sense, I see some of this process at some point, not in all of the prisoners, I don't have that close a contact with all of them, but even over a period of time, I've been working with this, the very first prisoner dates back to 15 years back and to see the growth taking place in his life from A to B. Now, the efficacy of the atonement is not in any way doubtful. It's not, let's see if it's going to happen or not. It's going to happen. Everyone for whom Christ died will be saved. Now, that process of all of the elect coming saving to Christ is not dependent upon man. What we would now want you to think about is that the same God who ordained the end also ordained all the means whereby that end is infallibly reached. God ordained the end, he ordained the means. The end God had before him is the salvation of his people. And something else, their glorification and their being prepared, so to speak, to spend eternity in his presence. What a glorious day. What a glorious privilege. And a means by which this is reached takes us back again to the mediatorial work of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what we have here is a blending, a bringing together of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in this marvelous transaction of the salvation of a soul. It is a great mistake. I'll go further. It's a serious error to separate the present mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit from the atonement of Christ. Just as it is to contemplate the sacrifice of the Son apart from the fact that it was fulfilling the purpose of God the Father. The precision, if we can use that word, manifested in the saving of a soul. The Trinity is involved. And I say that because I think there may be the possibility of either being ignorant of some of this, or, and I don't want to say this so that you misunderstand what I'm saying. There is a very, very prominent, emphasis on the death of Christ as the death of Christ, not seeing all that comes into the picture of what that means. So that our focus is on his dying, perhaps on his resurrection, maybe something on his ascension. But what we're not faced with, as I believe we should be, and what we've attempted to strive for in our study, is to see all of the intricacies of God the Father in election, predestination, sinless birth of Christ, his sinless life, all part and parcel of our salvation, as much as his death on the cross. And I think we don't know that as we should. At least I think there's a danger that we, and I don't, when I say this, it doesn't sound good, but I'm going to say it anyway. Overemphasize the death of Christ to the neglect of the covenant of redemption, to the neglect of his sinless life, to the neglect of the operation of the Holy Spirit that goes on in a young man's heart as we witness. It wouldn't happen. Even if Christ died for him, it's not going to happen unless the Holy Spirit brings it to pass in his heart and life, because he's an elect soul. That's part and parcel for it to happen. If you neglect any part of it, it's not going to happen. And I'm not sure that we're aware of that, as we should be. At least that we have a growing appreciation that salvation is of the Lord from beginning, and there ain't no end to it. What a wonderful thing. Great salvation, dear people, in its origination, in its effectuation, and its application, and there there is a consummation, not in time and place, but the work is done in a soul. And you know what? Man contributes nothing. Nothing. All of the Trinity is involved. God the Father is the author. Christ the Son is the purchaser. The Holy Spirit is the conveyor. What a blessed salvation. Now, let's think of the office of the Holy Spirit. What is the relation that the Holy Spirit sustains in this, what we could call, economy of redemption? The Holy Spirit is subordinate to Christ, the mediator. There are a number of passages that teach that. John the Baptist declared, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The communication of the Spirit was a distinguishing mark of our Lord's ministry. In what way? Well, in respect of which he would prove to be the greater and mightier than the herald who was sent to prepare the way. John 20 and 20, verse 22, the risen Redeemer, importing this divine gift to his apostles, said, "He breathed on and said to them, receive you the Holy Spirit." The book of Revelation describes him as having the seven spirits of God. The Spirit is now subject to Christ and is even called the Spirit of Christ in the book of Romans. That the Holy Spirit should be subject to Christ, that the Savior should direct the Spirit's operation, was promised even in the covenant of redemption. Observe now, when John the Baptist's prediction was fulfilled and Christ baptized his people with the Holy Spirit, listen to the words of Peter. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear." What a blending we have of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Precision among the God, the Trinity. Now, we have three things we can contemplate. This is good. The Son is being sent forth to redeem God's elect, that they may be adopted as sons. Secondly, the Holy Spirit being sent into their hearts. And thirdly, the elect being adopted into God's family. That's enough to want to make us say amen. A hearty amen. Now think carefully. This boggles your mind. I'm following here very closely the author's wording. Just think. The Spirit is not given to make them sons. For all of the members of Christ were written in the book of life as sons and daughters before sin existed. Or even time began. Now, that's something you can go home and think about. The Spirit was given to them because they are sons, and that as the meritorious gift of Christ purchased by His redemption. It was the death of Christ which appeased the anger of His Holy Father and opened those treasures of grace which, by reason of our sins, had otherwise been shut up from us. Wondrously is this brought out in the Old Testament, types of the rock, Christ, must be smitten before the water, the Holy Spirit, could flow forth unto God's people. That's weighty. But so essential. The very design of the Spirit is to make manifest the fullness of God's love to His people. And how could that be until God demonstrated that love on the cross? It's beginning to fit together and make sense. Well, I hesitate to get started on another section here. I think we have enough to think about, enough to digest. As God gives us opportunity to do so. I think we can take a moment or two if anybody has a comment or just how the Lord seems to be helping you grasp some of these truths. Just an opportunity. Yes.
I guess some people might misunderstand, and they would say, well, didn't Christ die once for all and sat down on the right hand of God? But it does say that He is always interceding for us.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, all of it is relevant and necessary. It's all a part of the, mm-hmm. the same picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True. I think it's hard for us as finite beings to grasp spiritual truths, even the concept of eternity. But I think it's a good thing for these truths to be pressed upon us, to expand us in terms of our awareness, our thinking, our understanding up to the point that we can grasp it. But I don't know if that helps. Anyone else?
It's just, I agree with everything. It's just good to focus on the covenant of redemption and think about the different roles that were played by all mm-hmm. three members of the Godhead.
Amen.
Especially the Spirit, thinking of the Spirit as the seal of our salvation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I've been particularly, I know I've referred to this young man quite often, but it has been very impressed upon my mind and heart, even as I'm sitting there engaging with him and talking with him, because I realize I'm dealing with an eternal soul. And if in fact God has purpose to save him, it's amazing to see the light turn on as you progress through a passage of scripture. He manifests, yeah, it's like, as I said, it's like a light turns on. And I'm thinking to myself, that can only happen if the Holy Spirit is working in his heart, because these are spiritual truths. We were dealing with the passage of Nicodemus. What did Christ tell Nicodemus? Nicodemus, unless a man, there's a very real kingdom out there, but you can't see it unless you're born again. And I emphasize, I use this quite frequently in witnessing. But think of this now. Here's Nicodemus. What do you know about Nicodemus? The Bible tells us a good bit. He was a ruler of the Jews, educated, religious, wealthy, man of position. And here's Christ telling him, there's something you can't do. You can't see the kingdom of God. It's real. It's there. You just can't see it. And then later he tells him, and you can't get in it until something happens. It's called the new birth. Did that new birth happen? We believe so. Why do we believe so? Well, he was very obviously present at the crucifixion of our Lord. We don't know a lot more about him, but that is quite indicative that he would be there. But all of that to say that as you're witnessing, perhaps you may use it. In fact, I have used Nicodemus many times as preaching in the jail, because it's story form and the men kind of latch onto it and listen. But there's so many spiritual truths that are there that you're confronted with in presenting the story of Nicodemus. But again, I think the thought keeps coming to my mind. What's going on in your mind? What's going on in your heart right now? As God would be pleased to awaken him. Yes.
It's been helpful for me to study this because the just making sense of my own journey from the time that I, you know, when I, you know, before I believed the gospel, and then after I believed the gospel, but then went through so many things along the way to this point. To remember or to know that God has actually adopted me.
Mm.
You know, just to see it from his end, from what you've been preaching, has been very helpful for me.
Good. Amen. Amen. May the Lord use it to strengthen us in our own relationship with our great God and Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit that has brought us to himself. And may he continue to cause us to grow in grace and the knowledge of him day by day. All right. Well, Michael, would you lead us in prayer and ask God to bless our time?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this lesson. Pray that as we go into worship service and through the rest of our days, Lord, that we will meditate on this word preached to us in the atonement, that in your intercession, that we will persevere because you preserve us, and that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And you pray, we pray that you will help us to go this day and grow much in grace and knowledge of you.
Amen.
Help us to put you first and foremost at the beginning, at the first of our lives. And Lord, help us to love you with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and our neighbors, ourselves. Pray that you go with us through this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.